Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Marita Diffenbaugh. She has 22 years of service in Idaho's education system, from the classroom, school district, and university to the State Department of Education. Marita believes that the hope is a prerequisite for learning and looks for ways to help others see their value. In her newly published book, Learner, Finding the True, Good, and Beautiful in Education, she shares about how to connect learning to community resources and needs, along with strategies that restore hope and can support learners of all ages to develop their full potential. As a partner with the Elevate Academy Network, Marita is currently connecting education industry and community by launching Elevate Academy North, a new career technical school opening in August of 2022. She is looking forward to serving as a principal at this community-driven school of choice for students in 6th through 12th grades who are not finding success in their current education. Welcome to the podcast, Marita.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time, Dana, and I love this opportunity to be on the Out of the Trenches podcast.
Well, thanks so much for joining me today, and we'll jump right in. Tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Oh, well, so it's all how I started to have the opportunity to get into education, really. You know, I was raised with my mom being a teacher, my dad being a preacher. So learning was really definitely something that's been all part of my life. Mm-hmm. But I found myself in my early 20s, just working at a grocery store and working my way up through the different positions there and serving people, and loved that. And one day I had somebody come through my line, and he asked me this question that surprised me. He said, "Is this what you've always wanted to do?" Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, wait a minute, I get a choice. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes I think in life, especially for teenagers, life seems to just happen to you. And if you may not know quite how to set your goals and to take those next steps, or, you know, because of different situations that happen, you find yourself down one path you didn't think you were going to be on, and all those type of things. And so that one question from a stranger was something that had me curious enough to, you know, call my dad later and start kind of complaining about a stranger asking me a question. How dare he ask me this question? What was he even thinking? Was that rude? Was that kind? What was this? And my dad said, well, is it what you want to be doing? And, you know, what brings you joy? You know, what fills your cup? And so, and the answer to that was being with kids, because they love learning, and I love learning. I loved the process of learning and to be part of it. And so I found my way into the university and started my career that way. Then once I became a teacher, that question of, you know, how can we make sure that everyone is inspired and every single one of my students finds that success, so they don't get themselves on a path that wouldn't be helpful to them. And that's pretty much been the question that I followed 14 years in the classroom, and then into some technology and some administrator work there, studying a little bit about mastery-based education and meeting kids where they are and helping them learn. So is it the tools that is going to help? Is it meeting them where they are where it's going to help? And ultimately, it's the relationship that's going to help. It's the relationship with who, welcoming the kid, and who are you? Welcome. What are you interested in? What are your strengths? And then connecting them to resources that you have available to you, even at your school or in your community. And so to come full circle where I'm at right now, an opportunity to start a school for 6th through 12th grade students who haven't found success in school. You know, I taught 5th grade for a lot of years. And if they had not found success by 5th grade, something really different needs to happen to help them stay engaged and to connect and contribute for their future. So I'm excited to be sharing my story here.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your book. First of all, Learner, Finding the True, the Good, and Beautiful in Education. When did it come out, and kind of walk me through the story of writing the book and something that a reader of the book might be able to just learn if they were to purchase the book.
Great. Well, I was invited to write this book from the Connect Ed founders, connected.org, Jimmy Cassis and Jeff Zuhl. I had met them when I was doing some educational technology at a school district and hosted a lot of their book studies of what connected educators do differently with principals and teachers. And I had not talked to them for 5-6 years. They reached out and asked, would I write my story? They had followed a little bit to see that I did have maybe some unique lens into the education space, starting with being a teen mom and not finishing high school myself, to coming into being a teacher and having to go through this journey that was really non-traditional for that experience, to just pretty much chasing the question that I had shared earlier, you know, really seeking to get to the bottom of how we can provide education as a service, not a program. And so when they asked me to write the story, I just started to get this opportunity to just unpack all that experience and all that learning. And what came up, I'll back up a little. I even spent some time looking at all the teacher movies that ever inspired me. Finding Forrester, you know, Freedom Riders, Dangerous Minds, and what are those things? What draws us to those stories? And it always came back to the relationships. It's not the program. It's not the money. Those are all things that help. Those are resources we can activate. But it's really a human experience, this education space. It is not a product. And so Learner is actually written for a teacher to help them be able to analyze how they are providing a service for their students. So how, and it's an acronym that stands for these words. How are you listening? Empowering. What are you analyzing? And then once you have listened, empowered, and analyzed, you now know what resources to attach to the needs for that student. And then you could start your lesson planning. Those are the experiences. And all along, the last one is relationships. All along, from the moment you ask the child their name, shook their hand, pat them on the back, you started the relationship. And so what are those strategies? What are those resources that you can use in the system that you're in? And how can you even encourage the system to stretch and change so that it can truly be a service, not a program that kids have to fit into, versus being a service that is responsive to everyone who comes to the school? And then there's a thread throughout: true, good, and beautiful. And that comes from Plato's true, good, and beautiful philosophy. So it's been around a while. And in the book, I tell the story of how I actually came up with that. It came from another stranger on a plane, but you'll have to read it to find out. It was pretty interesting. But really, that is what is the whole child. That's the whole person. When you say what is true, it's what we need to be learning. It's the skills, the knowledge, all of that. But what is good? That's your character, your dispositions, how you get along with others. And then what is beautiful? That is your contribution and how you can give to the society and to your community around you. And so how are we inspiring our students in all three of those areas? I think we've tried to do a good job doing that in the true area by standardizing, but in the process of doing that, we've kind of missed out on that human element of the good and the beautiful, and how can we bring that back? I think people are ready for that, especially after what we've recently gone through with the pandemic.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a timely book, and, you know, looking at like how we can change things for the better, and, you know, in education for many years, whether you're in a teacher position or administrator position, there's always that, like you call it the water cooler talk, right? And just the negativity that seems to float around because a lot of educators are just either they're not in the place they should be, or, you know, they're just, they've been in their position too long, or they're not seeing the good in what they're doing, right? So I think kind of stepping back and looking at the philosophy, like you said, and having people be able to kind of find themselves more And I think that's kind of what you'd like to talk more about as we lead into our next part of the podcast. Just kind of starting this school and kind of what the process has been. You still have about a year as of recording. You know, we have a little bit over a year until the school opens. And I think you said you're going to break ground soon. And so kind of what got you into being interested in opening a location for Elevate Academy?
Thank you for that. What got me interested is the question I have continued to follow. You know, the students that will be coming to Elevate Academy North are struggling in school right now. And right now they're getting ready to start 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade. And if they have not found success after this year, it's just not going to get a lot easier, you know, as they go through their middle school and high school years. That's one reason why, is really trying to help the individual kid find success, see their value. You know, when you started off reading the bio, hope is the prerequisite for learning. If you don't have hope, then you're not going to find value in yourself and you're not going to find a will. Hope is a will in a way. You're not going to find the will. We can help you with the way, but you have to bring the will. Mm-hmm. And so with that, I'm really excited to provide those opportunities. The second part of what drew me into Elevate Academy Network is seeing how that those ingredients that are used not only honor the individual, it also lifts up the entire community. So what's missing in the community? What jobs are hard to be filled? We know that the trades are suffering right now. They have been really removed from our secondary education in K-12 for a couple of decades. And we're seeing the results of what that has caused us. You know, we have a gap in engineers and in pilots and you know, construction workers and welders. And so I've had an opportunity to spend a year through a fellowship that came through Bloom Fellowship. Bloom's a nonprofit here in Idaho. And it allowed me to study North Idaho and what are the areas that have the biggest gaps. And that's how we created the programming for Elevate Academy North. And our partners are going to be part of our ongoing technical advisory groups so that our teachers will always be fresh and know that what I'm teaching is relevant, it's valuable, and it's needed in our community. And I don't have to do it alone and I don't have to be the expert of everything. Mm-hmm. I can call on this network of people who are specifically skilled in the area that I'm teaching.
Okay.
In addition to that, the core content, the math, the science, the social studies, the reading, all those skills are taught through the trades. So it's not like right now, the way the system is set up is kids, you need to do really well in all these core classes and then you get dessert. Then you can go to your electives, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And we're saying, no, we have to hook the kids with their why. And then on the back end, we can, you know, if you're doing welding and if you're building, you have math in there, you mm-hmm. have language in there. So how can we give them credit for the work that they're doing in that holistic kind of project space? And so those are going to be some great things too, is that collaboration. So to me as a teacher, those are the pieces that we're missing. Mm-hmm. It felt like if you weren't able to keep up with the calendar, if you weren't able to develop exactly when you were supposed to develop, if you weren't average, you know, yeah. which Todd Rose says there's no such thing as average, right? If you weren't this mysterious thing that we say is average, then you were actually a failure in school. And that was really a disservice to a kid. And so now we get to say, hey, welcome. Who are you? How can we help you find success? And it starts with the onboarding of our kids. They'll all sign up if they're interested. Of course, we're a public charter, so we do a lottery. And then after that, we'll get an opportunity to do intake meetings with their kid, with their parents and the kid right there. And just to have them really analyze, you know, is this a good place for me and why? And let them be part of the conversation from the moment that this decision has been made, because it's their journey. They need to bring the will. We'll help them with the way. And then tying all the way back to the book on that, Dana, with that, there are two parts within that book also that's like not only the oath for learner learners that the teachers can use to see how they're finding success. Because like you said, the negative around the water cooler comes from feeling like you can't hit the mark no matter what you try. So if we can give something to say, hey, if you've done all these things, you've done your job and you've done it well. And no matter what happens, no matter what the kid is doing, right? Because you can't control that, but you can control what you provide. And so then we have to do the same thing for the child and say, what is your job as a learner? And you can't maybe control what grades you have and all those type of things because you don't give yourself your grade, but what can you control and what does a learning look like? Mm-hmm. And I think when those two come together, we're going to see an education that's a service.
Yeah. And in a school where you're focusing a lot on just developing these traits, right? The learner is a lot more in control. They're working on projects. They're finding what they can do best. Like you said, they're not being held back by, a course that they might not be doing so well in. Like you said, in the traditional high school setting, that's the icing, that's the dessert when you get to go to a fun class, right? But yeah, like you said, we really need more high schoolers educated in these trades, plumbing and, aviation and those types of things. So tell me a little bit about just kind of what you've learned. You said you were talking with George Kuros and about just kind of having this past year, during the pandemic to recalibrate and, think about success and how you're going to take some of your thoughts about critical thinking into the opening of the school.
Mm-hmm. Recalibrating as far as my individual self, I mean, it's something that is George Kuros, just if you follow his podcast and his work, he's really authentic and he shares something professional and something personal in his weekly newsletter. And just when you get a chance to think about who am I, who am I as a person? Who am I in my family? Who am I as in my role? I think it's really important to know your own strengths when you're in a position of providing service to others so that you can recognize when you need to.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
Get some help when you can recognize that, okay, this is maybe more than what I am really skilled at and I need to go grab a teammate to join me in this. And just that feeling of, I am not doing this alone. Mm-hmm. I've watched and listened to a lot of educators who went up and down the roller coaster, which of course they did. We all did through COVID. And so did a lot of parents, oh my goodness, like what is just happening right here? But somehow I think most people have come to a place to decide what is most valuable to them and what they're going to choose to spend their time doing, what they're going to choose to spend their time worrying about, and what they're going to choose to spend their time to get better at. And so I think that really turns us back to the true, the good, and the beautiful. We had to focus on the good and the beautiful, like what's most important and who are we in this together versus just the tasks to get done, because the tasks to get done had to change. Mm-hmm. And so now I think that not just recalibrating onto what it is that we're teaching and is it really valuable in this world right now, we haven't really recalibrated that since the internet, right? I mean, so we've got a lot of work to do on standards. So that's one thing that's over here. But regardless of what's happening there, what kind of life do I want to have? What kind of future do I hope for? And let's make sure that the things that I learn help get me into that position for setting goals. So I think those are, I will just tag one quick story. You and I talked before the podcast started. My son and his wife just finished the Ironman in Coeur d'Alene, which was an epic thing to watch. And I had an opportunity to be at a bike station and see thousands of bikers come through. Mm-hmm. And the determination I saw on their face, the game day when they were driving past, when they were beating all the odds in this triple digit weather, when they were just willing to have ice down the shirt and water over their head and take a sip of water and keep going in a place that I think you just can't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine they could be riding a bike. I could barely be standing there. And just to think about all those things that took place prior to that, for that to even be possible, it meant that they had to know who they were. They had to know their strengths. They needed to know what inputs they gave so that they could understand what outputs they could give. And that's much like what we need in education. Whatever you're putting in, what are you expecting out the other end? And let's make sure that we connect the dots with the kids. So it's not just, hey, show up, sit in school, do really well, and then you'll get to go to middle school, and then you'll get to go to high school, and then you'll get to graduate. And so that helps me do, you know, what does that help me do? And let's make sure that we connect that all the way through.
I really like that analogy, and you know, those racers preparing themselves for the race, and you know, it's as much mental preparation as it is physical, right? And but also for educators, right? You know, we have to recalibrate. We have to think about, you know, our game face as we enter the 21-22 school year, but also for our students, like, you know, helping them move along the way, maybe finding other opportunities for those students who aren't doing well in the traditional K-12 setting. And let's talk a little bit about just that, the groundbreaking and the pre-chat. We talked a little bit about that you're going to actually be in the construction trailer, you and your vice principal, during the school year. So how do you envision the work during this prep year to be for Elevate Academy?
Well, it's taking a miracle for this to happen, because one of the things that we're dealing with in construction, and whenever you're listening to this, I'm hoping we'll be healed maybe sooner than later, but we are in a real big deal with a kind of a crisis here with construction. The community is so excited to have our school that we are having people come and support us in so many ways, from making the land possible to making sure that we're having the supplies that we need, and being able to stay within our budget so that we can be a really strong, sustainable school, you know. And so that being said, we are doing groundbreaking, God willing, August 23rd. And we are on 5 acres in Post Falls, Idaho, and we'll be able to serve 4 communities around us of Coeur d'Alene and Hayden and Rathdrum and Post Falls. And we will have about, 48 kids per grade level, 6 through 10 to start with. And then each year after that, we'll roll up for another 11th and another 12th. And so we'll be at about 336. And we already have on deck, because the research that we've done shows that we'll probably need to be growing to a school of about 488, you know, sooner than later, because of the needs. And then also just now it's outfitting the metal shop and the construction shop and our culinary arts space, and creating these learning spaces for things to be ready to go for the kids when they show up on the following August 23rd, 2022. And so we really are trying to curate, my vice principal and I, Tony Perka, we're trying to curate our journey on Instagram and Facebook, all the socials. And we also have all those linked to our website, elevate-north.org. So we already have quite a few people following, rooting us on. We had an opportunity to be in the Coeur d'Alene Press on Father's Day on front page, you know. So that really shows what this community is curious about our school, and wants to provide a space for kids and to fill this gap for our community as well. And so it'll be fun. And yes, we'll be on site, and that's why we'll be able to kind of study how our school was built from the ground up. It'll be quite a story to share with our students.
And tell me a little bit about just some of the students that'll benefit from enrolling in Elevate Academy. You said you visited some juvenile detention centers and boys and girls clubs, and maybe reaching out a little bit to those areas in the community for students that would benefit from enrolling.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a continuum of people, of kids who are not finding, if you're not finding success in school, there's a continuum of reasons why. Some are more extreme, as some of the things you just mentioned, and some are less extreme. Coming out of COVID, we have noticed that a lot of our students are not coming back to school. Maybe they have decided homeschool is a thing for them, or maybe they haven't quite acclimated back into a public space because there was a lot of fear that was happening. So we have some social emotional needs and some mental health things that are really we're going to have to address as a world, as a globe. It's not just happening only in the United States, you know? And so I've been working with my partner to really make sure that we have those supports on deck so that we have wraparound support for those families who really need it and the kids who need it. Because just going back to hope, right? You know, and even just our basic needs, if our basic needs aren't met, if we're not feeling safe, if there's that tiger in the village and we cannot get ourselves to come away from trauma, then we need to have some triage at our school to help out and get them the help they need. But I have found from working with kids for a lot of years, and even I just say learners of all ages, I've had the opportunity to work with adults of all ages. Sometimes you just start by listening, you know, and that's, you know, that's why I started the chapter with listen. And I shared my own story about when I was in a critical space in my life and I needed help, and how I had a special person who became a teacher in my life, but wasn't a teacher by profession, and how that really got me on the right path. It connected me with, you know, if I could form the question of what I needed, then the other person could help me with the resource. And there we had the will and the way, and I had some hope. And so I just feel like this is a public charter open for any single kid that is interested in giving this in trying to, you know, wanting to contribute in their community and to maybe just have more success than they're having right now if they're not having success.
Well, tell me a little bit about just how your roles kind of have shifted in the past couple of years, working through just administrative positions, also to prepare you to not only step into this principal role, but also, you know, prepare for an opening of a brand new school, which a lot of people don't, you know, go through as a principal. So kind of have your previous experiences, like how are you going to go on those strengths?
Well, being a teacher, you know, is the best job. And I came out of the classroom to support teachers because I had someone visit my class once. They were doing a study and they said, look, you need to come out and try to help coach teachers to inspire them so that they can figure out what you figured out. And that is to share this process of learning with the kids, not to carry it all on their shoulders, not to feel like it's your responsibility alone. And so that is why I left the classroom, is to help teachers. And then I just really fell in love with finding ways to make their job easier. The things that they could, what could we automate that interrupts what you really want to do, which is being with kids and being their support. And so that instructional technology management job helped me a lot when I worked at a school district, launching Google, getting the internet, like figuring out what's possible. How can we duplicate ourselves? How can we use this as a real viable tool for us? And that was helpful. And then really taking apart the system and realizing how broken it really is. We have a very broken education system, and not on purpose. There are a lot of people working really hard, and they can do great things in spite of the system being broken. And I hope that I was one of those teachers doing that for 14 years in the classroom. And I'm not saying that teachers are broken or the people are broken that are working hard on this. And it's just the fact that it's really difficult to create a system that is a one size fits all for humans that are so diverse. And so how can we try to relook at our system to change? And so that work that I did with mastery-based education, some study I did when I was working on my superintendent's certificate at Boise State University, and then working at our State Department, really opened my eyes to, we can fix this. We can be responsive, and we're almost there. We have permission in Idaho to instructionally meet people where they are. Now we need to work on how we can assess them where they are and honor them in that way and not put them back into a system that is just measuring them by calendar and by age, you know? And so those are things that I feel like being in this school, we can show how, if we can measure the process of learning, and if we can show that every kid is growing and reaching their optimal potential and contributing back into their community, isn't that what education is designed to do? And I think that we can really encourage other school districts and other states and around this world to say, look, I think this is how you might be able to, you know, recalibrate in your own spaces and find a way to be responsive to the humans that you serve.
I think that's a great way to kind of get people thinking about, you know, how they can serve their community better and, you know, maybe think outside the box. As we wrap up the podcast recording, I'd like to ask, out of everything we talked about, what's one thing in particular you'd like listeners to remember?
I hope they remember hope. Hope is the word, you know. When you see someone struggling, when you experience something, maybe not even in the classroom, you're at a grocery store like I was, somebody saw I didn't have hope one day, and they asked me a question that changed the trajectory of my life. And for good, for real good. And so how can we look at somebody when we're out and about in this world, when we're at our jobs, and say, hey, I see you. And I see you might need to have some inspiration or a question or something, because when somebody is reacting in a way that's negative, chances are they're lacking some hope.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to end and, you know, kind of have that hope as you're moving through, you know, whatever listeners' positions are as we start off the school year and, you know, continue to have that hope. And, you know, if you see somebody struggling, you know, reach out, like that changed your life. Well, where can people find you online, connect with you, and also find out more about Elevate Academy North?
Thank you. Please find me at maritadiffenbaugh@gmail.com. So that's my direct email. You can find us on our website, elevate-north.org. I also am active on Twitter at mdiffenbaugh. And I just look forward to connecting with anyone who wants to continue a conversation around this. And if I could be a thought partner or support, please drop me an email. I'd be happy to visit with you. And then if you want to check out Learner, it's on Amazon. It's also, you can find it at connected.org. And that will take you also to the Amazon link. But thank you so much, Dana, for this time. And thank you all for listening to this great podcast.
Well, thanks so much for being on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it, and if this episode resonates especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.